Oh, yeah.
So let me get y'all so I can see you better. Full screen. There we are. Good morning. Good morning. And so I do want to quickly, just before I forget, jump on what Agnieszka and Kathleen were just talking about. The best way to make sure you get the link is to not rely on me. Lisa relied on me last week and I sent her the wrong link. So the best thing is to go to the website and register. Okay. Because then you get on the list that goes to Darcy and then she sends you the link, right? And so, and yeah, Agnieszka's class is amazing. And what I'll tell you, if you're thinking, if you want to join us this Thursday, next Thursday, is just the best thing is to, if you have yoga blankets, yoga blocks, yoga strap, or a wall, those are kind of the basics. Now, if you don't have yoga blocks, Agnieszka will ask you to find a book or a cushion. If you don't have yoga blankets, Agnieszka, any blanket will do, right?
Pillow.
Right. Okay.
Pillow, blanket, something. She rolls them up, has us roll them up so that they can go along the length of our spine or across the mat. And the strap, we don't always use it, but when we do, it's really useful. And you can use a belt, but it needs to be a long belt. What else can we say, Agnieszka?
Bathroom robe belt.
That's, oh, yeah, bathrobe belt.
I think. bathrobe belt. Thank you.
Hey, we can tell you've done this many times. What was that? Did I interrupt somebody? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was also going to just remind you, Karen, this goes into the conversation. I was supposed to remind you to talk about the different types of yoga.
Oh, okay. We'll do that during the class, but so stay on that, stay on that. And if any of you, I had said in our one-on-one, remind me to talk about that today. Just know that I really meant it because my office is, lots of times I have a real linear way and I keep notes along the way, but not happening right at this moment in time. So it's good to see everybody. I think we'll probably be missing April today. I believe she's out in the beyonds beyond where there's no cell service and, visiting family. So what I'd like to do this morning is to congratulate everybody who got here this early, for whom getting here this early is not simple. Okay. And then take us into a meditation. So let's do that. Let's find our seats. Let's find our seats. Find our seats and just take a moment to scan your own body to find any places that are particularly tight or tense. And then use your breath, use your awareness to consciously soften and release the tightness in these areas. And part of what we are training ourselves for, and what every meditator trains for, is to be able to recognize on their own, without prompting, what is going on in their body, and to release the gripping, release the tightness, so that we can settle into our seat and settle into the moment. And don't underestimate the victory of being able to recognize when you sit that there is tightness in my shoulders, there's tightness in my neck, there's tightness in my chest. My eyebrows are furrowed. These are not small things to recognize. And so let's each of us now begin with a resurrection breath. And as we come into back to front, begin with a nice, gentle three-part inhale and three-part exhale. Let's all begin together. And we're going to do three or four of these three-part inhales. And the key thing that you are doing is reversing the process as you exhale and being aware of places that you weren't aware of before, expanding with that inhale. We're keeping the shoulders down. Shoulders stay soft, even as we fill under the collarbones. And if you can, soften the jaw so that the lips and the jaw and the chin and the neck soften. And then after your next exhale, soften into your seat and just rest here for a few moments. Just quiet, present, right here, right now. And now bring into your heart the thought of someone who makes your heart smile. And think about them until your heart is full of this feeling. Letting that feeling rise up, that sensation, so it shows on your face. And then enjoying that feeling, feeling it, filling your heart center, moving up into the throat and the face, letting it expand down through your arms, maybe even down through your torso. See if you can now let go of the thought of the person and simply rest and enjoy the sensation of a heart smiling. And see if for the next 20 seconds or so, you can allow the breath to breathe easily, normally, and the breath is breathing you and feeding this sensation of a heart smiling. And so we're going to bring that technique we started with in the group meditations and we've done before, to have that awareness that as the breath is flowing in, it is caressing the heart. It's touching the heart. It's greeting the heart. It's smiling. And it's bringing a smile to the heart. It's like two lovers meeting. And can we, for the next minute or so, allow the breath to caress and touch the heart, and the touch to open with a smile? And for our last few breaths, we're going to consciously inhale, and we're going to inhale the feeling of joy into this beautiful space that we've created, and we're going to exhale contentment. And we'll do it again. Inhale joy. Exhale contentment. And one more time, allowing that joy, inhaling that joy, letting it merge with everything else that we've opened up to. And as we exhale, sighing with contentment. And from here, we'll open and say, O Great Spirit, saints and sages of all religions, all places, all times, and to our own precious Ishta Devata, we bow to you all. Sweep clear the obstacles on our path and lead us to the other shore of that ocean of awareness. O ye powers that be, help us to awaken in all aspiring souls your eternal wisdom and unselfish love. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. And then whenever you're ready, inhaling, coming back into that much more grounded sense of the breath, maybe moving your fingers, your toes, stretching a little, and let's come back, open our eyes. It's good to see everybody. Wow. So, congratulations. You're still here. We made it through the first part. We're heading into part two. And this section, what we're going to be working, we're going to weave Tonglen because we didn't quite finish that up, round one. And we're going to, you know, the group meditations are going to be an important adjunct to this and the anxiety class. So let's keep in mind, this is an immersion. This is an immersion program, right? And this next 5 weeks, you will be immersed again between the anxiety class, your group meditation, and this. It's just being surrounded in this beautiful field of awareness. And the techniques are a little different, but they're never different. It's always the same technique. It's always underneath it all. It's the same technique. It's about becoming present and aware. Becoming present and aware and open, open-hearted, without any resistance. And recognizing that you are not separate. Maybe that's the piece. You are not separate. We think we're separate because that's the illusion, but we are not separate. We are not separate. And so with all of that, what we're going to do in this class is we're going to also move into just an awareness of Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, which is where he condensed the teachings. The yogis are really good at this, of making a linear, nicely categorized, easy to follow, compartmentalized understanding, giving a structure to what is a very personal, intimate journey. Each one of our journey into ourself, into recognizing the part of us that is intimately connected with the all, whatever you want to call it. And there are certain things that this journey entails for everybody. And so the gift of the eight limbs path that he ascribes is that it gives us a guide. It gives us something to hold on to and say, oh, this, 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 this. Oh, this is going to happen. Oh, this will happen if I do that. Oh, I need to do these things. The difficulty, the challenge of this path is using it for you. Because every person's path is different. It's not the same progression. It's not the same focus. And so our goal is to take what I'm going to introduce you to and all the wisdom that's held in these sutras and make them yours. See how they mirror what you've already learned. And so hear this. Lots of times we read a book or we read something, we go, oh, as if they're teaching us something new. I'm going to ask you to look at this and go, oh, yes, 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 I know that. Oh my gosh. Yes. That's exactly what I've experienced. Yes. So in other words, don't take it as something somebody is putting on you to accept. Take your life experience and bring it to it. Bring your life experience to it and see where it lines up with what you've learned. So it's a slight difference, but it's a pretty significant shift in perspective. Okay. So in other words, you're not little birdies that we're feeding it into. You're individuals with minds and brains and tons of life experience, and you're going, really? Well, let me think about that. You know what? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I agree with you. Do you follow the difference there? So Steve, this will really appeal to your intellectual side of you, you know? And so before I launch into a little bit more about, actually, let me finish this, then I'll go back to Kathleen, then your question, okay? In the yoga tradition, we have the eight limbs of yoga. In the Buddhist tradition, they have the eightfold path. There are, in the Eastern way of approaching world, there are always lists made. And it's really important to understand that there were no typewriters, there were no books. Everything that you are learning today, that all of us, we have this access to all of these materials online now, not just books, they're everywhere. But these started out as oral teachings. Now, I don't know about you. I only know one person who can sit down, listen to a lecture, and then get up and give it to you verbatim. And that's David, who some of you know, who teaches the astrology class. And David has never taken a note. And I have been at retreats with him, and I made some comment and about something Kriyananda said, and he can go back to the beginning of that little session and just go, and then he said da 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 and da da da, and so what he meant by da 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 was da 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 da, and I'm like, I mean, I was zoned. Anyways, that is not the norm. Most of us have really trouble remembering things, right? Partially because the teacher is talking as I am now, and for, you know, half of you, your mind is actually somewhere else. And I do the same thing. It's hard to stay completely, totally focused. And while you're listening, be making, you know, connections between everything that's said. So what the teachers did was they found ways to teach the material that helped people remember it. So you would come together for an hour or 4 hours or maybe even a day. But when you left, you needed, remember these three things. Remember these six things. Remember these eight things. And so this idea of lists is born out of an oral tradition to help people remember what was being taught. Okay, so that's why the lists. And I am not going to expect you to memorize the eight limbs of yoga. Now, some of you are yoga teachers and you already know them, right? If it appeals to you to remember them and memorize them, go for it. But what's important is the spirit of the unfoldment and to recognize the, never mind. Let's just leave it there. Okay. All right. So
can I ask one question,
Karen? Absolutely. Absolutely.
So are these past, are they in it? Like you have to do this one first, then this one, then this one, or are these like sometimes number four happens and then number one happens, or does that make sense?
The list is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay. It is in an order. Okay.
But there is an element of you kind of got to have this before you can do this. It's like you got to learn to crawl. You got to sit before you can crawl. You got to crawl before you can stand. To walk, right? You got to, you know, there's that kind of basicness in there. I mean, and it makes sense, but the reality is none of our lives progress in that linear fashion, step, step, step. And we're all working on different levels at the same time. All. I mean, you could be up at the top of the higher limbs on working, really, you think you're working on meditation, but really you're still working on nonviolence down here at the very bottom. You're still working on honesty.
because part of this path with meditation is honesty, authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. So they're totally interrelated. And so there's an element of, okay, you got to have some sense of integrity before you can do this. You've got to have some sense of, but otherwise they're interconnected, they're interlaced, they all feed each other. Even the upper limbs of concentration and meditation and samadhi feed the lower limbs of honesty and nonviolence and contentment. And okay.
Yeah.
So for all of you more linear types, you might find it very, very comforting. And at the same time, I want to make sure everybody understands it's not linear, and to allow it to be a very interactive, intuitive, interconnected thing. So we're going to be talking about the Yoga Sutras. And one of the reasons we are is because the retreat is, the Yoga Sutra has four books. The first one we'll be talking about. Second one we'll briefly touch on. And the third book is actually filled with some really beautiful techniques with the breath. And that's what we'll be covering in the retreat, because the nature of our retreats is we have some people at the retreat who have been meditating for 20, 30 years, right? And people who will be there for the first time. So it's never a beginner's retreat. The retreat has the information and you greet it at your level. And it will work for you wherever you are on your path. But because you are in the teacher training, what I want to do is give you some context so that we get to book three, which we're hardly going to talk about, but just so you know, I'm not making up the stuff I'm teaching you. These are techniques out of this Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. And, they are more advanced techniques on some level. On another level, they're very simple. But what they can do, if you can allow yourself to trust and show up, is they will give you an experience of connection, of knowing that whatever it is we think we're meditating for is really there. It's really real. You will experience it. And that knowing is precious. Because once you've experienced something, you know it's real. You know I didn't make it up. You know that you just know. And you carry that knowing with you for the rest of your life because you touched a place inside you that was peaceful, where your mind was quiet, where you felt connected, and you just felt good. And knowing that is possible, Kriyananda would say just tasting it is enough to carry you for the rest of your life. And it shapes the way you live the rest of your life, because you know it was real. You know you got there. And all this work you're doing is not for nothing. It really does change you. Well, change you in the sense that it gets you out of the way to experience this thing, right? So to that end, I'm going to give you a little more background over these next few weeks about the energy body, the chakras. Next week we'll be giving you some handouts with Karen's diagrams of the energy body and the chakras, the way the prana moves. material that may be familiar to some of you, brand new to others. I don't expect you to understand it, depending on where you're coming from, so much as be introduced to it. And be, just be open. And for some of you, the material may not line up exactly with what you've studied in other places. And I'm all for studying with other teachers and other systems, but it's really important to recognize that I am teaching you the way we're going to work with the energy body and the chakric system is from the yogic tradition. The Buddhist tradition is different, and we've got traditions that are being taught here in the United States that are a little different. But I'm teaching you a system, a system. It's one system. It's not the system. It's one system. Okay. And so, it's actually really fun. This is a really fun little segment here that we're working with. And I think you will hopefully find it really enjoyable. And please ask questions. I will be totally upfront and tell you, I have not experienced full-on samadhi, man. I have not spent days in the breathless state with, you know, but I've come close. I've had my moments. And so I may not be able to answer all your questions, but I will certainly answer whichever ones I can, all right? And so with that, kind of that's where we're going. And everything we're doing these next few weeks is preparing us for the retreat. And then at the retreat, we get to have our own wonderful experience. And then afterwards, we'll have some time to debrief and before we take another break and come through with it in the fall. Now, I know a couple of you won't be able to be at the retreat. So here's what I want you to know is that every retreat is different. I never teach the same material. My brain doesn't work that way. But there is nothing going to be taught at this retreat that is going to be a life-changing loss in your life. There's another retreat next March. There are other teachers teaching. The material is out there, and I believe from the bottom of my heart that the material that is important to you will be there for you when you need it. So Kathleen, what I'm saying is this is all great stuff, right? You're going to get all of it. You won't get the experiences at the retreat with the breathing techniques and things we're doing, but trust your path that what you're getting is what you need. Okay. Okay. And Lisa's not going to be at the retreat either, but she's not on I think her internet dropped. So that's what I had to open with. It was a little nonlinear maybe, but any questions on any of that? And then I'll answer Kathleen's questions about the yoga. Yeah, Ramon.
Just for the sake of saying the name right, is it Patanjali or you said Patanjali or something?
Oh, I know.
I heard it different ways. So I just want to make sure I'm saying it right.
Well, you live in Chicago, so they say Patanjali's. Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, I don't know. You know, it's like, depending on what your accent is, your English accent is, depending on if you know Sanskrit and you've studied Sanskrit. At my age now, I'm like, just say it however, you know? The one that's like, I don't know. I've got teachers who say Ajna. Some say Anya. Some say Ajna. It's like, some say Hamsa, some say Hamsa. It's like... I say Patanjali's because that's how I was taught to say it. Yeah. I say chakra, not chakra, not a sh, but a ch, because I was corrected by my friend David, who looked at me and went, it's chakra, Karen, chakra. I was like, okay, chakra, you know, because so, but I don't know. And does it really matter? You know what I mean? I know we want to say it right. We want to sound like we know what we're doing. And I have so much respect when people who speak Spanish, they can be speaking a perfectly, you know, American English accent and then boom, 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 say the name of things in their beautiful Spanish, total perfect accent, right? It's like, boom, I love that. But the truth is we're Americans. We don't speak Sanskrit. We don't speak Pali, which was the native language of the Buddha. We don't speak, what is the Hindu language that they, it's not the language in India that they speak. My husband would know these things. Anyway, we don't speak those languages. So at this point, let's do the best we can. And when we hear people who pronounce it correctly, we'll go, oh, maybe that's how it is. And we'll try and remember even as we come back in our world. You know, I don't think any of us mean disrespect, but that's all I got for you, Ramon, on that one. It's like, you know, I wish I had more, but I don't.
I just didn't want people looking at me like, what did you just say? So it's fine. As long as we're open to it, that's cool.
We're open to it here. And I think, I mean, let's ask the other yoga teachers who've done this, like Lisa Agnieszka, do you say Patanjali's or do you say Patanjali? What do you say?
I say Patanjali, just like you.
Okay. Lisa, same. Okay. So let's do Patanjali.
Okay.
Let's do Patanjali. Well, in the Sanskrit alphabet, it is ah. Those are the ah sounds. Ah. And so, okay. Let's go with Patanjali. So any other great questions that I can just bring more confusion to your worlds with? Kelsey, yeah.
Can you say again what Patanjali is? I don't actually remember what it is.
It's Yoga Sutras. It's four books, and it was written thousands and thousands of years ago. There's debate over whether Patanjali was an actual person or not. And it's said that he's actually considered to be a compilation of, and this is the cool part about the yoga tradition, right? Is there were the rishis who lived up in the magic lands, you know, and they played with the vibration and sound and breath and how this, the world of energy manifested and became physical and they experimented. And over time, they learned certain things. If you do this, this happens. If you do this, this happens. And they learned that if you do these things, you can move through the veil of delusion and ignorance that comes over us as when we're born into the human world and we forget our connection with the all in all. And these are the things you can do to get back in touch with that and to live in alignment with those energies so that you can remember. You can remember your connection. You can remember who you are and of what you are made. And you can learn how to use these energies to benefit yourself and others. That's a very simplistic, but I kind of liked that description. Okay. And so they did things. They practiced with the breath. They practiced with mantra. They practiced with postures. And over time, they say, Patanjali wrote this all down in one place. And he gave it identified these as the eight limbs of yoga. The eight limbs of yoga. With the bottom limb being, here I am in my very humanness. The top limb being, ah, I'm back. I'm back. Oh, okay. I remember now, you know, and you're back in that oneness. And so, there's some really a lot of wisdom in these sutras. And this isn't a class on Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, so I'm not going to assign you any books or readings on it. I'm going to give you the main ones that concern us. I'll give you the path. I'll give you some handouts with the Eightfold Path. Excuse me, eight limbs of yoga. I'm living between two worlds, Buddhist and yoga here. And in Kriyananda's book, The Spiritual Science of Kriya Yoga, he talks about each one of these parts of the path really quite, quite beautifully. A little dense in parts, but he's right on. He's in alignment with anything else I've ever studied or heard from, and he's got a lot of wisdom. So we'll be using his book, The Spiritual Science of Kriya Yoga, as our map, our guide to Patanjali. So what was the question? Did I answer it? Was that it, Kelsey? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay, then let's go to Kathleen's question, which was, Kathleen, can you just say your question so everybody hears it?
Well, I was starting to read Kriya's book, and I was just asking what other, you know, I've done yoga for exercise, but I've never understood it. And now I'm realizing that there's all these, you know, I mean, I knew there was different types, but I've never understood. And that was my question on our one-on-one. And you were going to explain that to everyone, the different types. So
that's actually a really big question. Because there are different types of yoga.
Okay. Okay.
So there is yoga in and of itself means union. It means union, which is what we just described, right? I'm starting here at the bottom in all my humanness and forgetfulness, feeling very separate. And the top of the eight limbs is samadhi, which is union. In another way they say it is that yoga is, we've talked about the three channels. Everybody's been in the group class, so everybody's familiar with the three channels. Anybody not get that? There's the Sushumna and the Ida and Pingala. The lunar channel, the solar channel, the nadis that run along the right and left side of the spine. Right is Pingala, solar, left is Ida Lunar. Yoga is the coming together of the Ida and Pingala in the Sushumna. So as we bring our life more and more into harmony, more and more into balance, these energies become balanced and they don't merge. My teacher was extremely clear. They don't merge. It's not like I take butter and I take sugar and I whip it together and I get yummy and frosting. It's not that. It's the lunar energies are one thing. The solar energies are another thing. As we balance them, they literally become something else. What they do is they literally open you up and they bring you into the central column called the Sushumna. The central channel is what they call it in Buddhism. And when you are in that central channel, you are in calm, peace, contentment, bliss, not in a bliss over the moon way, but bliss in a very deep, contented joy way. Sacred joy. It's not bouncing off the walls, bipolar joy. It's it's deep, right? So, and when you're in Sushumna, there's a lot of clarity. It's, you're clear. It's, you're, it's good. I'm at a little bit of a loss of words. Ironically enough, I got the most sleep last night I've had in 3 weeks. I actually got 8 hours of sleep, and now my whole body's just kind of like, oh, oh gosh. And so I am actually not firing on all cylinders. So if I'm not clear, please ask for clarification. Okay. So everything on the eight limb path, everything in even the Buddhist Eightfold Path is about bringing us into balance so that we can enter the Sushumnic awareness, which is that pure awareness of who you are and life as it is. Okay. Now, so that's yoga. Yo. Now I can't remember which one's moon, which one's the sun. Any of my yoga teachers remember? Not.
I think it's the hatha that's moon and the sun.
Oh, hatha. Thank you, Agnieszka. Good. Exactly. Hatha is moon and sun. Thank you. And I'm not remembering what yoga means, yoke. It means coming together so that we can, it's remembering its union. Now, there are, this word yoga has a lot of different ways of being used. There are, and this is, Steve and I have talked about this. He's been waiting for this conversation. There's what we call bhakti yoga, which is devotional yoga. There is karma yoga, which is action yoga. There is jnana yoga, which is wisdom yoga. There's raja yoga, which is the royal path. And I might be missing one. I'll remember it. Okay. So those are like types of yoga that have nothing to do with what you think of as yoga, which is exercise, right? So the yoga that Kathleen is talking about. Okay. Wait. And now there's Kundalini yoga. There's Kriya yoga. There's Shivism. There's other kinds of yoga. Okay. And then there's what we're going to start with now, which is the different kinds of Hatha yoga, right? Which is the, I didn't pull the handout out. I didn't think we'd go here today. It's the third limb on the ladder, right? Because working with our body, opening up our body. Yoga is actually about balancing the chakras in the body, bringing flexibility to the body so that you can sit in stillness. And within that realm of yoga, you have things called vinyasa, yin yoga now, right? I hadn't heard that one before. And you've got Kundalini yoga. And what are some of the other ones that you've heard of when you're talking about just a yoga practice as exercise?
Well, hot yoga. What's the Bikram yoga?
Bikram yoga.
That's the one I can think of. And then, I don't know. I'm not the yoga teacher.
Okay. But so let's address some of those, right? So hatha yoga, which is where we are making the body ready for the higher states of meditation and samadhi. We're preparing the body to help us sustain ourselves in these higher states of awareness. So what we're doing is we are making the body supple and the energy is in balance so you can sit still. I don't know if some of you, I know I have some students who literally can't sit still, right? Their bodies just always needs to move, boom, 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 boom. Yoga is one of the things that helps us move past that, through that. And so within this framework of hatha yoga, which is the where we're working with the body. There are so many different schools. And I'll talk about just a couple main things. Kriya Yoga is not one of those types of yoga. Kriya Yoga is, we'll talk about that separate. But so Kundalini Yoga, let's start there. Kundalini Yoga, if you ever take a Kundalini Yoga class, the purpose of Kundalini Yoga is to help you bring the two channels on either side of your spine and bring them into the central channel and lift them up the central channel. So it's a very, and it's done. Kriya Yoga is also about lifting the Kundalini. There's other, the practices we'll be doing at the retreat are about lifting the Kundalini. But in the Kundalini Yoga, as done by Yogi Bhajan and taught by him, it's very physical. And the breathing is very, very, intense and calculated to balance the chakras, open the chakras, and then lift the energy up the spine. So it's muscular, it's strong, and it's energetic. And so if you ever do a Kundalini Yoga class, how many of you have done Kundalini Yoga? Two of you? Okay. All right. You'll find that it's, I actually love it because the Kundalini was the first time I ever experienced the breathless state, because you work so much with the breath and so much. And then you lay down and you've got so much prana in your body that I laid there and I had no need to breathe. I had no need to breathe. It was the first time I really realized that this can happen, that you can have so much prana, because we actually live on prana, not oxygen, right? And there's nothing. It's just, here we are. So Agnieszka, Kathleen, what did you experience? Excuse me while I take my little things out. They're hurting me. So put off my video.
I had a very great experience at the end too. Where did she go? Oh, she did. but I've never taken a good instruction class. I've just done the ones that is on Gaia, on TV, and because I just did it during COVID, right? And, so I haven't taken an actual class, but, that breathless state, we'll have to talk maybe next time in a one-on-one. I've experienced that several times, and I think it's during those kinds of experiences, and I'm now realizing that that's exactly what the samadhi thing is. All of a sudden I realize I'm not breathing.
Yeah.
But I'm fine.
Yes.
And yes. It's this mental trip. So interesting. Okay.
Yes. Agnieszka.
Well, I took only three classes, more to experience different kinds of yoga from what I teach. And I think I was in a somewhat close-minded. I mean, I wanted to be open-minded. But, you know, if you do something similar, you're like, I don't know about this. So I still want to, you know, be more open-minded and take maybe a series of classes to just to experience whatever there is to experience. But, you know, some people like, as David says, right? White chocolate, milk chocolate. Some people like dark chocolate.
It's true. It's true. So, and what Agnieszka said is so important. You know, we have a close, and this is what I want us to not do in this class, is we learn it one way and we think that's the way. And then we go into another situation, they do it different, and it's like, oh, well, what are they? They don't know what they're doing. This, my teacher told me the right way, right? And what I've learned is there's always, and yeah, never, that's stay focused, Karen. Okay. And so Kundalini, I think, is actually a very, they work with the energy channels in the body, with mantra, with breath, with posture. But it's incredibly intense. And I'm not sure that everything about it is in, I'm comfortable with. You know, it's, there's these things in the yoga world and people, you know, people open up their energy, they open up their beings and it can be abused. And so I'm very leery of, traditions that have, any kind of that hint of that somewhere in them. Agnieszka, yeah.
So from my perspective and my teacher's perspective, it's every system is a great system, but it may not be for everybody. If someone is not very grounded and you lift that energy and it goes through Ida or Pingala rather than Sushumna, because we live in rightful bias, then it could cause trouble. So like any techniques, even pranayama should be, well, you want to practice them while you're somewhat grounded rather than, right?
Yes.
So that's something that I'm very alignment oriented in my asana practice. There's, right, like learning music. First you have to learn to play scales and then you can improvise because you know the tools that you have, right? Yes. You know the piano. So that's where I'm a little cautious. That's all. Not criticizing it in any way.
I think I'm more in your camp in that the work that we do is I feel is safe and balanced, but I've had the experience and, you know, with somebody who's discovered a technique and we're working with energy and I get totally ungrounded and that person has no skills to even realize what just happened. And so I think it is important for us to make sure that the technique works with for us. And that's also another reason why it's really important to talk to share what did you just experience? Because if you went too far out of your body, we want to bring you back, right? And if you're having trouble lifting into the Sushumna, then that's good to know. Then maybe there's another way, another technique to get you in there. Steve is going to have a very different experience than Kelsey. Right? Kelsey's a Taurean. Brenda's a Capricorn. Laura's a Capricorn. It's like we're each going to have Ramon. Everybody's going to have a different experience. And we want to be very, very careful that you have the experience that is balanced. Okay. Now, Karen, don't go down this road. You guys, everything we do is safe. There's nothing we do that's not safe. Okay. There are teachers who will take you and do stuff. Ramon, we had this conversation and you can have some very unbalanced experiences. And so this energy isn't something you play with, but it is something that if you do it wisely and you do it the way we're teaching it, you will experience something really sweet and wonderful. Okay. And so, initially, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, it's important. So, okay. So in, Brenda, go ahead.
My mind's just, I'm confused. So I'm over here like trying to figure out, are we like, I don't know. I'm just like a little bit lost in this.
Yeah, well, we got a little off track here. So, so let's, Kundalini, let's back up just a minute. Kundalini is traditionally taught as a coiled snake that sits at the base of the tailbone that is asleep. And as the Kundalini wakes up, it rises up through the Sushumna, and as it moves up, it brings with it awareness, that experience of total union. And it can be incredibly intoxicating and overwhelming, and in a good way, overwhelming and all encompassing. So when we're talking about Kundalini, what Agnieszka and I are talking about is people who have such teachers or traditions where the Kundalini rises too quickly and or it starts to rise, but the person isn't balanced enough yet. And then it shoots off into one of the other chakras, which I think we talked about briefly in the anxiety class, the last time, which is this. Believe at some point this is all going to tie together. I kind of put out a few different things. We've talked about karma being held in the chakras. We talked about energy moving to the left, to the right. There's all this out there. So it's probably a little confusing. So just know that this, by the time the retreat comes, all this will tie together. So there's just a lot of different thoughts, maybe to just kind of see if you can just kind of hold them. Not very fun for Capricorn, I know, but see if you can just, you know, it's like what we do is we balance and we lift. So as that energy moves up the spine, it goes straight up through the sushumna and you feel good. It doesn't, what we call angular energy, it doesn't, boom, get shoved off into one of the other channels and you end up feeling extremely unpleasant, very emotional but we're not going there. That's not what we do. That's not the techniques I teach. So, in fact, I don't even know how to teach it that fast. All I know is how to teach it little by little, balanced. So in other words, I don't want to scare anybody. Has anybody gotten scared? No. Okay. That's all in my head. Fine. All right. Then this energy that they call Kundalini, that's not a word I use usually. I prefer to call it the current. I just call it the current. It's the current that moves up the central channel. And that current, when it's in alignment, it's smooth. You can feel it. And when it's not in alignment, we're learning how to bring it back into balance, to balance ourselves and balance so that we can, that current can flow easily and smoothly through the sushumna. Okay. So Kriya Yoga is a system. It's a full philosophy and system where we use the breath and we use the philosophy to lift that current up the central channel in a very balanced way to bring us to that point of samadhi, to the outer fringes of samadhi, as my teacher would say. And the Kriya Yoga is a whole philosophy in and of itself. It's techniques that are there to balance your karma. And Kriya yogis say what other traditions say, which is, and we are the fast track to enlightenment, which I totally believed until I heard another tradition say, and we are the fast track. And then I heard a Buddhist tradition say, and we are the fast track. And I went, oh, I get it. You're all fast tracks. Okay. So what they all have in common is balancing our lives, balancing our emotions, balancing our thoughts so that we can, using different words, different techniques, but all of them bring us into an experience of moving easefully upwards and
We lose her?
Yeah, she's frozen for me too.
She's moving us upwards somewhere.
Nice.
She'll come back.
She's saying something really profound right now, and
I know, right?
Yeah, we're all missing.
Yep, I was gonna say one of us is gonna become the host, and then here she is.
You're muted.
Now you're muted.
I don't know. Is it Kathleen who said she's muted? That was the best gift ever. I mean, she's frozen because I didn't know I was frozen. I'm just chatting away. And so thank you. Oh. Thank you. Thank you. Where did I leave off?
We were rising upward. And then I was like, whoa, where are we going?
Went. I left.
Get out of here.
So maybe one way to put this is that the different systems have their own name. Kriya Yoga is a philosophy. There are definitions of what different things mean that work within that philosophy and techniques. And if you practice Shaivism, you'll find the same thing. There's a philosophy, there's definitions for the different terms, and there are techniques. And what's important is knowing yourself well enough to know to feel confident to try it, see if it works. And if it doesn't work, let it go and do something else. Don't take anybody's word. Don't ever do it just because someone said so. Try it, see if it works. And if it works for you, fabulous. If it doesn't work for you, then go find something else. There is something for everybody that's going to get us here. Get us where we want to go. Okay. And there is no one right way. It's not that I'm like 100, but I'm 67 and I'm telling you, there's a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different ways and a lot of people doing really, really wonderful, wonderful life using very, very different techniques and ways and philosophies. Right. So let's just find what works for us. And hopefully this class has a little enough variety that you'll find something that sparks and you'll follow that until it leads you to something else. So, okay. So I feel like I've been doing this. This was not how I wanted the morning to go. I think I'm just talking way so much. And I know we're due for a break. I still want to talk about the bhakti karma Jnana Yoga. But maybe we'll save that for next week. I think what I'd like to do is, why don't we take, if you're okay with it, could we just take a break now? And let's take let's come back at, let me find my clock on my computer and see what time it is. Let's just come back about 10-ish to, and then let's go back and I'll be more coherent and we'll actually focus on Tonglen and some of the books you've been reading and what you've been doing over this break. And then if there's time, I will introduce, some of the other material. But so let's take a break. And we'll come back in 10 minutes. All right. All right, everybody.